Good morning, Revolution. It is so good to be here with you today. First of all, I would like to congratulate all of the graduates that we celebrated this morning. I know life is odd right now, and we can't share in this moment in the way that we wish we could, but know that our love and support is just as big as ever. And we are looking forward to being able to celebrate with you in person soon. For the past few weeks, we've been talking about grief, fear, doubt, and shame, and how we live with those things that can feel huge, big. How the work of reconciliation and salvation is ongoing. How we are all works in progress. And how we can experience the ongoing grace of Christ that transforms us and resurrects us. Maybe you've seen these verses in Scripture. Peace be with you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Or maybe, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Or, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Now, these words can be a comfort or an encouragement, yet what if when you hear them or read them, you're still anxious, afraid, sad, ashamed, or angry? I can admit that there have been times in my life when I have felt like something was wrong with me because these words have fallen short of providing peace. So what can we do when the pain of life blocks us from truly experiencing the grace, love, and peace offered by Christ? Maybe we carry the baggage of being abused in some way, or we worry about how to pay the bills. We grieve over the loss of someone close, or we agonize over a rebellious child, or we struggle in the face of an uncertain future. We all experience disappointments and failures that are sometimes beyond our control. We feel overwhelmed. We get frustrated, impatient, and angry at life. We may even become resentful and bitter. There are some who appear to have it all together, yet on the inside, they're wondering why life seems to be so empty and meaningless. Maybe we can't even put our finger on it. We just know that something is missing. Maybe we've become so accustomed to our predictable, safe pattern of living that we become unaware that there is more to which God is calling us. We get so accustomed to the familiar day to day, week after week, year after year, that we fail to realize the difference between living and simply existing. Our status is quo, and thus we fail to recognize the abiding sickness which resides within our own souls. Now, these are not new problems. We are not alone in these struggles. Jesus himself felt overwhelmed, angry, and sad. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, we find Jesus and some of his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus begins to pray, becomes deeply distressed and troubled, and then he says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." In Matthew chapter 23, we see Jesus not only get angry, but I would say furious with the Pharisees. He is so ticked off that the entire chapter is Jesus calling the Pharisees such things as hypocrites, blind guides, fools, snakes, broods of vipers. Now, when you read this chapter, You can picture the veins in his neck bulging out and the spit just flying. I felt that way before. In John chapter 11, we find Jesus visiting the home of Mary and Martha after their brother Lazarus has died. His friends are devastated, and Jesus sees their hurt and their pain. And in verse 33, it says, "When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. 'Where have you laid him?' he asked. 'Come and see, Lord,' they replied. And Jesus wept." Jesus, God in flesh, feeling overwhelmed, angry, and sad. So, we are not alone in our struggles. But how can we look to Scripture to help us find the way out? It's not always easy to see ourselves in the words of the stories that we read in Scripture. And it's not always easy to hear the hope and the encouragement that Scripture can hold as well. So I would like to invite you now to sit back and listen to a story. Instead of reading the verses, listen to a story taken from Scripture found in the 5th chapter of John's Gospel. Once upon a time, on a beautiful Sabbath day in Jerusalem, Jesus visited the pools at Bethesda. Now, it was believed that the pool was sometimes visited by an angel who would stir the waters, and the first person in afterwards would be healed. All around the pool gathered the blind, lame, and paralyzed. They were there because they felt some part of them needed healing. Now that kind of makes me laugh, thinking about them all laying there waiting for this unseen angel to come and stir the waters so that they have the chance of being healed when God himself is walking right next to them. But I guess maybe we still have a hard time seeing God when he's right next to us. Well, as Jesus walked among the sick and the hurting, he came upon a man who had been an invalid for 38 years, and Jesus, being Jesus, knew all of this about the man. And he walks up to him and he says, "Do you want to be healed?" Now, I'm not exactly sure how I would respond if someone walked up to me and asked me that question, but it would probably be something sarcastic, rude, even. Yet this man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am trying to get in, someone steps down before me." Now Jesus, knowing that the man wanted to be healed, says to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and he walked. And they all lived happily ever after. Well, maybe I'm making that part up. Do you want to be healed? What a question. In the story, the answer was not as obvious as it must have seemed. Jesus wanted to know, did the man really want to be made well or not? He had been in this condition for 38 years, and it might have been that all hope had died. The man might have been content to remain an invalid. After all, if he was cured, he would have to bear all the responsibilities of making a living for himself. Now, there are people who find a sense of security in sickness, and for them, suffering isn't as unpleasant as the unknown life that could await them. I've been there, making all the wrong choices and living my absolute worst life, but being too afraid of what getting better looked like. I knew what sickness and addiction looked and felt like, and even though I knew it was not the life that I or my family deserved, I was too scared to change. Do you want to be made well? Maybe it wasn't such a dumb question after all. The man didn't give a simple yes. 38 years is a long time to be able to settle into a kind of comfort and safety, even in misery. Being well holds more responsibilities. Getting well requires more accountability. But the man did respond. And by his response, we can tell he wanted to be healed, but he didn't see how it was possible. Still, Jesus had to know if the man really wanted to receive the gift of healing. So he gave him step-by-step instructions on how to be healed. Get up, take your bed, and walk. Get up and walk. There's a question behind his question. Jesus spoke the words, but God's healing power could not be let loose until the man assumed the responsibility of choosing life and risking the possibility of transformation. What was true then is still true for us today. The real question Jesus asks us is, do you really want to be changed? If we are content to stay as we are, no matter how miserable that may be, there can be no change, no healing for us. The truth is that we all must recognize our own utter powerlessness apart from God. That is our shared human condition. But then we must also realize that miracles can happen when our will cooperates with God's power to make them possible. The question Jesus asks is the ultimate question that each of us must answer. Do you really want to be changed? Do you really want to be made well? Too often we can plod along in our debilitating condition, craving to be healed, yet resisting any change whatsoever. Even God can do little for us if we are comfortable with our own place in life. Now, maybe you agree, to echo Amy from last week, that what you're doing right now isn't working, so it's time to do something different. You finally believe that you deserve better and you're ready to do the work, but you're wondering, what does it look like to get up and walk? Well, I'm glad you asked. I can tell you from experience that it looks like surrender. It looks like unconditional love. It looks like support. It looks like a forever family. It looks like this room on a Wednesday night, or for the last several weeks, a Zoom meeting during Celebrate Recovery, where other brave souls who, when Jesus asked them, do you want to be made well, responded with, yes. They got up and walked. The Lord is still working miracles, and I would like to take a moment to share proof of some of those miracles with you now. We humans have an innate ability to adjust to about any kind of circumstance in order to survive. Sometimes survival is the best we can hope for. Our problem, however, is that we often settle for surviving and forget about authentic living. Jesus' question to the man was about physical healing, but the man's physical condition was not the main point. The question behind the question is about life itself. Just what do you want from life? What is it you really need with God? I'm afraid many of us really don't know what it is we need. The well-being Christ offers to us all is greater than our physical world. It has to do with the sickness of our souls. We feel restless. This healing is what God offers to us through Christ. Rest for our souls. But maybe we have something different in mind, something more material. And if so, then maybe we don't really want to be made well. Jesus asks us the question today, and he deserves an honest answer. Healing will come on God's terms, not ours. It's really a question of faith. Can you trust God to change you without manipulating the results? Can you let go of your own fear of change and allow God to make all things new? A new life, a new way of living. That is the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you really want to be made well, really be changed, then you must cooperate with God's power. Jesus said to the man, "Get up and walk." That is his same invitation to you this morning. Get up, walk. Put one foot in front of the other and follow me. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you today perhaps with heavy hearts, perhaps with confusion, anger, sadness, sorrow. Maybe we're just overwhelmed. God, I pray that you can open our minds, reach that spot inside of our hearts, and let us know if there is something in us that we need to surrender to you. What is that little thing that we could change, that you are longing to make well in us? God, we come to you thankful. Thankful for your grace and your love. And the fact that even when we continue to do the wrong thing over and over, your love and your grace never changes. God, we thank you. We love you. And we offer our hearts to you. We pray these things in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
Hello, Revolution friends and family. I hope you are doing well and having a great week. I just wanted to share again that announcement that we made last week that the leadership team has determined we will be ready to reopen for in-person worship starting Sunday, June 7th. You know, this time apart has really reminded me of the power of our incarnational faith, of a God who loved us so much that God chose to come and dwell among us in the flesh, in Jesus Christ. And it's reminded me again of the power and importance of when we gather together in person. And yet, we know that we want to do that in a safe and healthy way, following these guidelines that we have been given. So many of us are excited and ready to get back for in-person worship. We look forward to seeing you. And others don't quite yet feel ready. And that's okay too. And we want to honor that. In fact, if you are at risk based on age or underlying health condition, we do strongly recommend that you continue to worship online at this time. We will continue to stream online. We're excited about some equipment that we're getting that will allow us to stream more efficiently. So whether you're in person or at home, we will continue to have a meaningful worship experience together. You know, because we will have limited capacity, we do ask that you utilize the sign up. That will be really important as we try to plan and accommodate everybody who wants to come to worship each week. So you can access that through your email or on our website. But please help us and communicate with us if you plan to come to worship by utilizing the sign up. You'll also find more information about the guidelines and precautions we are taking. So we ask that you sort of read through those online or through your email. No coffee at this time, no childcare until we're able to reopen our childcare facilities. And also masks will be required while in the building. So we ask that you bring a mask. If you don't have one, we have many that are available that we'll be happy to share with you. So we are so excited, looking forward to sort of this next phase, and ask for your prayers and patience with us as we live into this reality. And if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to reach out. We love you all. We're praying for you, and we look forward to seeing many of you soon.
Author Caroline Mace puts it this way: yet the truth is that healing and change are one and the same thing. They are composed of the same energy, and we cannot seek to heal an illness without first looking into what behavioral patterns and attitudes need to be altered in our life. Once those characteristics are identified, we have to do something about those patterns. This requires taking action. And action brings about change. We are not meant to stay wounded. We are supposed to move through our tragedies and challenges and to help each other move through the many painful episodes of our lives. By remaining stuck in the power of our wounds, we block our own transformation. Do you really want to be made well? Think about it. And if the answer is a yes, or even just maybe, consider joining us this Wednesday at Celebrate Recovery on Zoom. You can check out our Revolution Celebrate Recovery Facebook page or the email blast, where all of the information about the meeting will be posted. Revolution family, I miss you. I am praying for you. And I'm looking forward to safely worshiping with you all, however that looks, next week as we celebrate Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Until then, get up and walk and be the revolution. Have a good week.